Since our last series, we learned of the death of Debbie Barham, one of the best writers ever to have her gags mangled by me on the news quiz. She was just 26 years old and had a brilliant future ahead of her, and we all miss her very much.
We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting scene in Professional Engineering magazine, read by Corey Caulfield.
The Romanian factory, whose staff have been donating sperm in a bid to save it, has finally closed with £13 million in debts. Workers are said to be very relieved.
Thanks to Graham Marchand of Cheltenham for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Armando Iannucci. Opposite them on my left, Matthew Paris and Sandy Toksvig. And Francis, you get the traditional, incredibly easy question. Who's been given short shrift this week?
Pass. No, I do know this. It's Claire. She's dropped a bombshell. Before the war, she said she would resign if we went to war, so of course she didn't. Then, during and after, she said she'd decided to stay on, so of course she resigned. I think it was probably sour grapes, actually, because Blair persuaded her to stay on by saying it was going to be a short war, and she took this to mean she was going to be in charge of the whole thing, but... anyway, she made a resignation speech, which I didn't hear, but, well, I heard bits of it on the wireless, actually. I was in a taxi at the time, out in rural Essex, and the cab driver stopped the car at one point, and he said, "Whoa, you tell him!" So she's got one fan in the Great Dunmo area. Labour MPs were amazed. She said he was a bit of a bossy boots, Blair, ruled by diktat. Yeah, it's taken only 6 years in the cabinet to notice this, so she's pretty quick on the uptake.
And Blair said that he's not obsessed by his place in history, and he says he's actually the least obsessed by his place in history of all prime ministers since records began.
I think he's going to miss having Claire Short in the cabinet to just torment, because she was having such a difficult time after she said she would resign and then not resign, that I think he quite liked to just seeing there sort of sweltering, and she was sort of his gimp, really. Claire Short is actually the three of diamonds on George Bush's she's off to Guantanamo Bay.
Short claims Tony Blair is trying to govern like an American-style president. Her opponents deny this, pointing out that Blair can not only tie his own shoelaces, but can also sign his name without using a potato stencil. Commenting on her resignation, the Prime Minister's recently appointed official spokesman said, "I triple guarantee you Miss Short has never been a member of the cabinet. Even now she is committing suicide and the walls of Downing Street. God will roast her stomach in hell." Armando, which alleged stake outing has got the spooks? Spoot.
This is Steak Knife. What's his name? Freddie Scapadici. It says he isn't Steak Knife. Steak Knife is an infiltrator in the IRA. And he doesn't sound all that threatening because he's named after an item of cutlery.
It's a lot better than soup spoon or fish slice or, or cake fork or something like that.
Police are on the hunt for avocado pear dish.
So I like the fact, Scapadici, it sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds very kind of, you know, secret spy, Scapadici. Yes. And then he's very shocked because he said, well, no, that wasn't me at all. And they said they've shocked now because he said it's not him. What else is he going to say? Of course he's going to say it's not him. A lot of people will be after him with, you know, vicious things. Even the leprechauns will be cross by now, I would have thought.
Just on the name thing, do remember you are speaking to a Iannucci.
Oh. Are you part of the nutting?
Which doesn't mean to say I'm not an IRA killer. That's
so it was
say
you.
That quite clearly, yes.
Actually, that'd be a great place to hide out if it was you.
Yeah,
yeah, on the news quiz. Nobody would. And on my right, Osama bin Laden.
After a week of being asked, is he or isn't he, Mr. Scapatici has finally confirmed he's never worn Harmony hairspray in his life. Friends of the man alleged to be Steak Knife said he needs these allegations like he needs a hole in the head. Two points to Armando. Matthew, who attempted a relaunch but still can't get off the ground?
It's the Conservatives. And the amazing thing is, this stupid
management consultants' word relaunch. They haven't had a relaunch. They've just thought of a policy, that's all. They thought of a, they thought of a policy of abolishing tuition fees. Fine, I mean, maybe it's quite a good policy, but relaunch, I don't think so.
I thought it was a much better one. Did you notice that the Green Party in Spain, where they've been having elections, they've been offering much more interesting things. They've been offering something called bono sex as an inducement. And I think the Conservatives could take a leaf out of this. And apparently, if they get elected, they're going to offer half-price hotel rooms to anybody who can prove that they want to go there in order to have sex. And I think that's a very, very vote-winning kind of a policy.
David Willetts from the Conservative Party was on, I saw him on Newsnight the other day, and he was asked, why do you think this new strategy will see you in power in 2 years' time? He said, this is absolutely true. He said, we are best placed because we have more mistakes than other parties to benefit from learning from. which is like saying, you know, we've booked the appendix operation and we've signed up Dr. Harold Shipman to do it.
And immediately after the relaunch, Ian Duncan Smith at Prime Minister's Questions demanded a referendum on the European Constitution, and the Prime Minister said, why, what would be the point of that? Ian Duncan Smith said that the British people can say no. So a referendum is for people to say no, if you're Ian Duncan Smith, or a referendum on the euro is for the people to say yes. What happened to the idea that a referendum might actually just be to ask people what they thought and to do what they thought?
Seems, oh, you sweet, innocent boy.
The Conservatives have pledged to cut the number of students in higher education, a policy that proved so popular when they were last in power 200 years ago. Sandy, listen to this.
Hans plays with Lottie. Lottie plays with Jane. Jane plays with Willie. Willie is happy again. Suki plays with Leo. Sasha plays with Brit. Adolf builds a bonfire. Enrico plays with it.
And a happy day in kindergarten was heard by all.
Sandy, why won't Gordon let Tony join in Europe's games?
Well, yeah, it's your five tests, isn't it? It's your sats. It's your currency sats. Which are very, very complicated. He said, we haven't passed the five tests. I've never been quite clear what they are, really. So Tony's going to put it to the cabinet. This is where we've got to so far, isn't it? And the country is not going to decide because it's complicated and we don't want the general public making these kind of decisions. Gordon's going to do it for us, or Tony, or the cabinet. They can't decide. It's the euro, isn't it? It's whether we're going to join the... Or not. I don't care anymore,
no,
actually.
No.
I have actually just reached the stage of just get on with it and get it off the front page of my paper, because I'm bored with it. Mm. And what we want is some proper news.
Gordon Brown's promised to give a verdict to Parliament on whether to have a referendum on the 9th of June, 2098. Gordon says a referendum should not happen before the next election. Tony thinks it should occur within a year, and Sherry believes it should come when Aquarius is in alignment with the sound of the screen. We start round two with a headline taken from the Cornish Times.
Census reveals life in Cornwall.
Thanks to Beverly Freestone for sending that in. Francis, who's building a new education system?
Oh, it's Charles Clark. Fat controller. I remember him well. He, when I was a student rebel, he was president of the National Union of Students many years ago. In those days, he had a proper beard. This is what's very odd about Clark. At the age of 21, he had quite an impressive beard.
It's gone all fungal now.
And now it looks like Boris Johnson's pubic hair.
I'm pleased to say I've never seen Boris Johnson's pubic hair.
Well, it's a treat in store. But I just feel that I either grow a proper beard or shave it off, but he seems to think differently. And, well, they gave all this money to education, and it hasn't got through to the schools. So Clark has said that schools can use the money meant for buildings to pay teachers.
It makes sense, doesn't it? They sold off the playing field so that we could have school buildings, and now you sell off the school buildings so that we can have teachers. And pretty soon, I think we could have class at my house. I think that's going to be the way forward.
We could have classes in the open air and just call them maths festivals and things.
Education Secretary Charles Clarke has pledged to pay teachers' wages from money earmarked for school building projects. Many schools are now cutting out the middleman and getting builders to teach pupils vital lessons, such as how never to turn up on time, how to rip off a pensioner, and how to stop worrying about exposing your arse to the whole world.
I love the idea of builders teaching this. Dear, oh dear, who's taught you this history then?
The builder would begin a lesson on Queen Elizabeth I and then go away for 3 months. Yes.
Everybody's got everything right so far. How boring. Amanda, see if you can get this one wrong.
She said she'd like to bathe in milk. He said, all right, sweetheart. And when he'd finished work one night, he loaded up the cart. He said, you want it pasteurised, because pasteurised is best. She says, Ernie, I'll be happy if it comes up to me chest. That tickled old Ernie.
Ernie!
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West.
This is the war in Iraq.
Amanda, who's in favour of an extra pinter for baby?
Oh, baby. Doctors have said that, I don't know what the actual details are because I stopped listening to them now, but every month doctors tell you that you're doing it wrong. And they're now saying that you shouldn't breastfeed for 4 months, you should for 6 months. Otherwise, you will grow up to look like Robin Cook or present a quiz show or something. And next month they'll say it should be men that breastfeed and you should stick your baby's fingers in a socket because then it will just get used to electricity. Absolutely. And the best position for them to sleep in is standing. And, you know, it's to do with breasts.
I love any of those surveys that tell you how things are good for your baby. The Daily Mail has one every day to scare you. And my favourite this week was that chiropractors can cause strokes. And I didn't know that. You go along to have your back, and you're gone. And then there was another one today. Dishcloths are dangerous. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
9 out of 10 dishcloths can kill. Mm. Oh. I don't know. I think you have to swallow them. I think so. Don't wipe your breasts with a dishcloth. You're breastfeeding your baby at the chiropractor. That's fundamentally...
Remember the old days when we used to drink poison?
Yeah.
Didn't do us any harm.
I gave my brother kerosene to drink to see what would happen to him.
What happened?
He nearly died. He's living in Cornwall, and John, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean
that. Don't go near any naked flames. Yes.
Or try and light your farts.
Just reminded me that. I know you can't broadcast this, but did you know that the German word for ice skating is Schittenfarten? And I...
Oh, no.
It's always made me laugh. It's rather... it's appalling. Sorry.
I used to produce this, I know all the tricks. If we keep referring to that little anecdote of yours, it'll be very difficult for them to cut it out.
Will it?
Just pepper the rest of the show with references to shit and fat.
I'll tell you what, I'll start humming Ravel's Bolero.
The government announced that breastfeeding of babies should be carried on for a minimum of 6 months before putting them onto solids. One spokesman called for greater support for breastfeeding. We believe it should always be encouraged in public, said Mr. P. Stringfellow of Central London. Matthew, who's gone judgmental this week?
Oh, incredible spat going on between David Blunkett, the Home Secretary, and it seems the entire British legal establishment. David Blunkett said that Sir Oliver Popplewell had lost the plot. Sir Oliver Popplewell described David Blunkett as a hectoring populist. David Blunkett hit back at the chairman of the Bar Council and described them as having lost the plot, and they're all over the place. Yeah, well, one thinks, girls, please.
Well, also, I think it was probably a mistake for the judiciary to put up Sir Oliver Popplewell as the representative of their class against Blunkett, given that he is exactly as Blunkett says. I mean, he's parody twit. I remember as he wrote in his memoirs, when he had to do his football inquiry, he had to go to a football match, and he was shocked to find that some football fans swear when they shout at the referee. He never realised it.
The long-running battle between David Blunkett and the judiciary has intensified this week when a prominent retired High Court judge branded the Home Secretary a whiner. Critics have dismissed Mr. Blunkett's claims that he's a great listener, mostly because it's well known his favourite phrase is, "Talk to the dog, because the minister ain't listening."
Simon Hoggart does Ali G. It's not a big-selling album, but it is available.
Sandy, who's been given the royal stamp of approval?
Oh, this is this very odd tradition that we have in this country of putting people on stamps who really shouldn't be there, I think. I think if you've been inbred for generations, I think it's a very bad thing. I do. I'd have your visage shown in that way. But he's quite a handsome fellow. Prince William is going to be on a stamp because he's 21 and many people are desperate to lick. I don't know. to lick a stamp with his face on it, I was going to say. But even worse than that, they have minted the most disgusting-looking coin it will frighten children, I think. With a picture of this boy on it, and we can now send things first class, with a willy on them.
Looking at you in profile, as I was just a moment ago, you'd look awfully good on a medal.
I think that. I think we should each take turns to be on a stamp, the entire country. Do you think it would be a good idea if we had stamps which indicated what the content of the letter was in some way? So, if you get a stamp with a picture of the Queen on, you think, birthday card, right? So it's going to be rather jolly. And if you get a thing with Prince William on, rather serious, business-minded, and if it's from the Inland Revenue, a picture of Camilla, I think. Something.
the images should be more contemporary, so that Prince William should be, like, taken from a very long lens and
fuzzy.
Yeah. You should have one of Harry's dealer.
Prince William, whose 21st birthday will be commemorated with the issue of a special set of stamps by the Royal Mail. The stamps show typical images of the Prince studying at St. Andrews, relaxing at Highgrove, and shooting his Uncle Edward in the back at Balmoral. And before we start the final round, here's an extract taken from a Little Chef menu.
Chicken dishes. Smothered chicken, chicken tikka masala, spicy chicken, chicken bap, Cajun chicken, chicken and bacon salad, chicken fusilli. Also available without chicken.
Thanks to Paul Freeman for that. Francis, listen to this.
Hey, fatty bon bon, sweet sugar dumpling. Hey, fatty bon bon, let me tell you something. No, not because you're so big and fat. Don't believe, I'm afraid of that. Self-praise is no recommendation. I'm looking for creation. Hey, fatty boom boom.
Fatty Bum Bum by Frank Sinatra. Whose employees have to downsize to stay on the treadmill?
There's a chain of, I think, health clubs or gyms or something like that called Fitness First. And one of the executives sent an email. She was not sweet in the email. She said, could you consider the implications of larger employees or something like this? By which she meant perhaps it wasn't a good idea to keep employing people who look like Charles Clark. But she's in big trouble because you're not meant to say that. It's illegal, indeed. So
really?
They're having to apologise and say she never meant it. It's actually going to rename itself Fatness First to prove that it takes...
I think they're making a mistake, because I don't belong to a fitness club, but if I did belong to a fitness club, I love the idea of an immensely fat person eating eclairs, standing next to me going, I wish I could run like you, madam.
Can anybody explain why, towards obese people, we're supposed to feel enormously sensitive and that we're not supposed to do anything that is sort of unaffirming or undermines their self-confidence, yet towards smokers, We're certainly supposed to undermine their self-confidence, and we're supposed to make them feel ridiculous, and we have advertisements saying it's like kissing an ashtray and that kind of thing. So smokers are made to feel dreadful, but fatness is bad for your health, it's bad for other people's health. Fat people spill over airline seats into us. Fat people are antisocial in just the way that smokers are antisocial.
They don't kill you.
Unless
they sit on you. Which is passive fatness, I suppose.
But it should be like those health warnings. I think that people who work in cake shops should be made to say to fat people, don't you think you've had enough? I think we're there.
Maybe the people in the gym are allowed to be fat and work there, as long as we have a big sign that just says, before.
Fitness First, Britain's biggest chain of health clubs, has sent a memo to managers urging them not to employ staff larger than size 16. A rival gym says it values fat employees, mainly because they can stand in when the vaulting horse breaks. Armando, which soap has surprisingly Victorian values?
Well, this is another one of those scientific surveys. It's to do with EastEnders. And, I have to confess, I've never watched an episode of EastEnders in my life. Thank you. And just to get you against me, I've never listened to an episode of The Archers in my life.
I shall tell Linda Snell on you.
No, EastEnders is one of those programmes where, you know, you sort of flick it on and you just need 10 seconds of it to know roughly what it's about. Because all I know is just phrases like, after all these years and you didn't know, leave it. And then I kind of... I'm up to speed. But EastEnders is not a den of vice, apparently. Someone has put all the episodes of EastEnders into a computer and all of real life into a computer. And the computer has told them that people are less likely to commit adultery in EastEnders than they are in real life, but are more liable to kill in EastEnders than they are in real life, thus proving that EastEnders is not like real life. Which is pretty obvious, really, because if EastEnders was like real life, if you switched on EastEnders, all the characters would be watching EastEnders. And none of them do. So it's pure fantasy.
One in 500 EastEnders men pays for sex, whereas one in 24 real men, say the experts, pay for sex. How do they know that? Do they conduct questionnaires?
I think they just went out with loads of fivers and approached lots of men.
Men tend to be more unfaithful than women to ensure they have descendants, a phenomenon known to scientists as the fool's only gone and got another bird up the duff syndrome. Matthew, who had difficulty getting their brocks off?
Yes. Yeah. The extraordinary story is Boris the Badger, I think. This was a badger that had actually been reared by human beings and so had no fear of them. And on the run from a wildlife sanctuary, attacked and injured five people. Policemen had to jump onto the bonnet of their car to escape from this badger, and apparently the badger attacked a man on his way back from the pub, and I thought, said to his wife, I'm sorry I'm late, dear, but I've been attacked by a badger on the way home from the pub. The badger has now gone underground. The big question, though, is why did the badger act like that? And I wonder whether Ron Davis had been bothering him in some way.
The man he attacked presented, it was a producer for Country File on radio, on the radio, and he'd gone to take the badger's photograph. And what I think is he went from the wrong side, and the badger's thinking, no, that's not my good side.
Have you ever run over a badger?
No.
Very huge. It took me three goes to reversing and everything.
A badger named Boris went on the rampage this week, attacking five people and leaving one man needing surgery. Badgers are most active at night and have a white line all the way up to their nose. Apart from that, they have nothing in common with Angus Deaton. Sandy, what's given new meaning to the parish pump?
Ah, yes, this is a very good idea. There are those people who think that the Church of England is full of hot air. And finally, we found a use for it. And it's the inflatable church. And this is a marvellous thing. It has 60 inflatable pews in it, and an inflatable pulpit, and an inflatable organ. And apparently it was designed as a nightclub, inflatable nightclub, and it didn't take off. Thank goodness.
And they have it also inflatable choristers and inflatable choirs, and an inflatable chorister with a pin went to the church, and apparently the inflatable vicar said to him, "You've let the church down, you've let yourself down, you've let us all down."
Is under threat from suicide busters.
The world's first inflatable church opened its doors to parishioners on Tuesday. The fabric of the church has been specially toughened and could only be damaged by a very large prick. Fill in your own joke about John Prescott and Anthony Worrell Thompson. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, this is from The Independent. A Russian man faces up to 3 years in jail for deliberately giving false information about an act of terrorism after making hoax calls about a bomb in a public spa. It was Women's Day at the bathhouse in Ulyanovsk, Russia, when the hoaxer rang up with a bogus warning. Officers say he had hoped the women would run out into the street still naked, but was disappointed to see that they had all got dressed first.
Armando.
I just found this one in the Hereford Times, and it just said, there's just a little item, it says, headline, Town Clock. There has been a development. The big hand has moved from 5 to 10 to 10 past 10.
Matthew.
This from the Bristol Evening Post. Members of Soroptimist International Bristol have invited the Rotary Club of Bristol to have a friendship evening on September the 9th. The event at the Bristol and West building begins at 7 p.m. and is in aid of charity Limbs for Life. Tickets cost £10 and include a finger buffet and a glass of wine.
Sandy.
This is from the Times. 4 men have been arrested on suspicion of hitting a Chinese takeaway delivery driver over the head with a bag of prawn crackers and taking 4 meals. A trail of sauce is said to have led to their flat. In Walsall, the driver was not seriously hurt.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores. Sandy and Matthew have a very creditable 15, but Armando and Francis just snuck ahead and have winners this week with 17 points. Before we leave you, here's an item from the Press Association.
Naturists, afraid that a new law forcing them to cut the height of their hedges would prevent them stripping off in the privacy of their own gardens, were told today, your bushes are safe.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Reed, Armando Iannucci, Matthew Paris and Sandy Toksvig. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Corey Caulfield. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Dave Cohen, Simon Littlefield and George Poles. And the producer was Simon Nichols.